SpiritFMOnline.com to all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive soul music.
Hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you're living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
Good evening to everyone. Thank you for tuning in to Spirit 88.3 FM. This is Eben. I'll be with you from now till 9 p.m. It's always a privilege to come your way. You are living interesting times indeed. You know, for those who watch the news and follow the world news, you understand what I'm talking about. And, well, we've talked about this thing for years. I mean, on this program, I mean, Israel attacking Iran. And, well, it has happened yesterday. So there's a lot to talk about. That's the first part of it. And this evening I'll be rounding up on the discussion or the topic we've had, parenting and the children issue. I'll be running it up this evening regarding, you know, some observations I've made, the exams, the BEC, and all those things. So a lot to talk about this evening. And yeah, I think that's it. So greetings to listeners wherever they are online, various parts of the countries in the world, and outside Kumasi, wherever they are in Ghana. So I'll start with the news first, then we get into some talking. Okay, so, well, for those who have not heard, but if you are in this world now, pa, and you've not heard that Israel has attacked Iran, then that's quite interesting. But, well, Israel launches preemptive strikes against Iran. And this was yesterday, and that was quite a shocker for most people, because it's like, but the signals were a bit clear in the course of the week when the US suddenly gave orders that their embassies in Iraq, the staff should relocate and all that. I knew that something was in the pipeline, so it's not a bit of a strange thing, but it has happened. So Israel really, you know, if you really read about the strategy they used, I mean, they planned this for years. Their team, their commandos and all, Mossad units, some have been in Iran preparing. It's serious. The Israeli security, their intelligence is top-notch, because to really pull this off this way is quite a massive thing. They killed a lot of the commanders. As at this afternoon, they said they killed 20 commanders, the topmost ranking. And apparently, Israel set a trap for them in terms of, I don't know, they won't go into details of something, but they pushed them to organize a meeting where you have the commanders coming. I said, these people. And then they hit nuclear sites, they killed, I think they said, 10 top scientists, the nuclear scientists. So, you know, virtually this attack is to cripple the nuclear program of Iran, and that's quite significant. That's the whole essence of the attack, to attack the Iranian nuclear system. Because you see, Iran's aim of having nuclear weapons is to use it against Israel and extend it to America if need be. You know, they call America Big Satan and Israel Little Satan. I mean, this whole issue of arms race in terms of nuclear, when Iran gets nuclear, Israel is the number one target. They don't hide it. They keep saying that they have to wipe out all Jews should be annihilated, all Jews should be killed. So it will be very wrong on the side of Israel to sit aloof when you know Iran is at the verge of having it, the nuclear weapons. It will be very wrong, because once they have it, they are going to use it against you. And Israel is such a small place. The whole landmass of Israel is such a tiny place that one drop of a nuclear bomb can finish off the whole, populace. So it's that serious that Netanyahu won't allow it to happen. He won't. So that's what he took, the preemptive step to attack Iran first. So Iran also retaliated last night, and a barrage of drones and missiles at Tel Aviv. Yeah, they hit some, missed the defense system. So successfully, Iran was able to hit some. I think no one died yet, but some wounded in Israel. And they destroyed some buildings, military as well, and all military buildings and all. But in the essence of the attack, Iran has paid a higher price than what Israel paid for. The attack they received yesterday or last night, and throughout today, Saturday, Israel was still attacking. The planes were still going. They've crippled a certain section of Iranian defense, that the planes, Israeli planes, just go. And yesterday's operation, they sent 200 planes. That's what they said. That's huge. And today they've continued the bombing energy places and all that. So this headline also says that Iran strikes back, sends barrage of missiles at Tel Aviv, U.S. helps Israel to shoot them down. Then British Royal Air Force jets scramble to Middle East after Iran threatens UK and Israel, as Israel launches fresh strikes and vows Tehran will burn, with region teetering on the brink. So Britain has deployed more jets to the Middle East after Iran threatened the United States and UK that it could retaliate if they come to Israel's defense, amid fears the entire region would descend into war. Prime Minister Keir Starmer said the conflict between long-time foes needs to de-escalate, and that planes will offer contingency support across the region. Then Israel says that attacks on Iran are nothing compared to what is coming. So what we saw yesterday and heard yesterday is just the beginning. They have bigger plans. But you see, when the Israelis say things like this, you can trust them, because they've infiltrated the system. If they tell you that they are Mossad, that's their intelligence unit, and they are commandos, they've been in the country all this while, setting up drone factories in Iran without Iran being able to stop it and all that. You don't know the extent to which they really established themselves. So if they say the next or whatever is coming ahead is greater than what has happened so far, it should be a sign of worry to the Iranian government indeed. And Israeli official vows, we have more surprises coming up. I'm just reading some headlines. We have more surprises coming up for Iran following wave of air strikes. Another one says, Israel says it has aerial superiority from western Iran to Tehran, as Netanyahu warns, we will hit every site and every target. So IDF, or Israeli Defense Force, has said they have established aerial superiority from western Iran to Tehran. We have created aerial freedom of action from West Iran all the way to Tehran, said IDF spokesperson Brigadier General Efi Defrin. Tehran is no longer immune. The capital is exposed to Israeli strikes, he said. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, has vowed that Israel will strike every target of the Ayatollah regime in Iran, adding, Israeli strikes had dealt a real blow to Tehran's nuclear program. We will hit every site, every target of the Ayatollah regime, Netanyahu said in a video statement on the second day of Israel's air campaign targeting Iranian military and nuclear sites. He claimed Israel had seriously impacted Iran's nuclear program, as well as the team of senior scientists who are leading these projects, referring to 9 individuals that the military had earlier on Saturday declared as eliminated. Netanyahu added there would be more military operations to come. Very soon, you will see IDF planes above Tehran skies. We will hit every target of the Ayatollah's regime. And then we have Erdogan, that's the Turkish president, condemns Israel's strike on Iran and warns it threatens to destabilize the entire Middle East. And Erdogan, a few weeks ago, was saying that he wishes and prays to Allah that Israel will be wiped out. You know, so it's an axis of evil. I mean, Turkey, Iran, Yemen, Hezbollah in Lebanon, but Israel has really paralyzed them to a very large extent, killed all their top commanders, their hierarchy has been destroyed, a whole lot of dissemination in the Hezbollah group. So the attacks coming from Hezbollah these days has been minimized considerably. Then you have Russia. Putin also warns Israeli attack on Iran was unprovoked and illegal. But I just laughed when I saw this. I mean, you, Russia, you also attacked Ukraine unprovoked. So what audacity do you have to talk about somebody's attack being unprovoked and illegal when yours is also pending? So that is it for these key news items. There's one local news, Ghana's news, that we had WAEC saying they've arrested a number of people. Some people have been arrested in the BEC exam, helping the students to cheat and all that. I mean, I'll be talking about that aspect, as you know, it's very disheartening indeed. But well, I'll get to that aspect. So, you know, the issue of this Ukraine war, yes, it's been on and on. That's the main war raging in the world. But this one has also come up, the Israeli war now with Iran. You know, some believe that is it. I mean, when you see this, then that means this is the end has come and all that. But, you know, it's not about how we feel and all that. Let's get into the Bible. What does the Bible say? And then let's use Matthew 24 as a baseline. So, 24, let me just go from... Okay, quickly, let me just run from verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon the other that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of the Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceives you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. The wars, the rumors of wars, it must come to pass. Verse 7. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. The beginning, not the end, the beginning. So when you hear of wars, rumors of wars, chaos, you know, like today, there's the largest demonstration protest in U.S. history. All 50 states, protest against Donald Trump, the largest ever in U.S. history, against his immigration policies and all that. And, chaos in the world. Confusion here, confusion there. But Jesus says that, you know, take it easy. Take it easy. You shall hear of wars, rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, because you can be troubled when you hear things. You see the news, you see the disasters, you see that this. But Jesus says, be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. The emphasis, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations. Underline all nations for my name's sake. The hatred, for now we are seeing anti-Semitism, the hatred for Jews, not even all over the world, but largely in the Western world and all that. But it will extend eventually to all followers of Christ. He was talking about his followers, the people who follow him. And the hatred will be so strong that it says all nations. So Ghana will be included. The hatred for anything God is going to happen one day, the hatred, anything Christ is going to be hated. Every nation will have, it's the Antichrist spirit that would initiate this. It's the Antichrist spirit that will cause the hatred for anything God, anything Christ. You see, so this is going to happen in every country. Then shall many be offended and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. When therefore you shall hear or see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand. And then goes on and on and on. So, don't let this war of Iran, Israel cause you to panic. These things are bound to happen. But this is not the end. This is not... It's part of the things that will be happening, yes, but it doesn't mean everything is ending. I see some videos online, and it's like, see, when you do things based on emotions but not out of the scripture, you can just jump ahead of yourself and all the stuff, So, but what does the Bible say? That is what is important. We stick to what the Bible says. Yeah, so... Later on, we'll be talking more about it, not today, but the end time, some of the things and all that. We've said some of these things years back on this program, but I'll be repeating some of these things, to give people some perspectives to understand some of the things happening in the world relative to eschatology, what the Bible says about the coming of Christ and all these things. All right, so for many weeks or a few months, we've had discussions on this program where we've talked about, I had Reverend Billy Bonsu joining on a number of occasions. We spoke about the SU, the things happening in the schools, the challenges, parents to know what is happening so that they can better be in a position to pray and help their children and all that. So we've discussed these things a number of weeks down the line, and this evening I'm winding down on this aspect of it, but let me address it from this angle. This week they started the BEC, so yesterday I had a call from one of my listeners, one of the listeners of this program and a friend for many years, and he it's sad, he's in a school, like a Christian, supposed to be a Christian school. The head is supposed to be a pastor and all that, and the owner of the school, a pastor. But then he said that he was so furious when he got to know that they are paying invigilators, paying monies and all that. And it's like, so where are we headed? If the unbelievers will do this, and a Christian school would also pay invigilators, then what is wrong with us as Christians then? I remember 2 years ago, I have this friend, they own a school, the couple, husband and wife, they own a school. I went to him to his house, like we were doing something. So I went there, and so in chatting, this education issues came up and all that. Then he said he was there one day, and a pickup came, a certain man came, well dressed. He said, "Oh, I mean, he's a consultant." A consultant in, you know, in what? Oh, in SMC, help schools to, you know, to do well. And so my friend was like, "Oh, okay, but they are a Christian school, so they don't believe in." He said the man started laughing. He said, "Oh, but everybody's doing it. You mentioned this school, this." I mean, my friend said he was so shocked and amazed, because it's like, so what is happening in our country now? Schools that you thought, oh, Christian school, Christian leaders, Christian. And the man was, "Oh, this school, I helped them. This school, I helped them." It's like everybody is doing it. So if you say you're a Christian school, you don't do, all the Christians are doing it too. So you too, you have to. So my friend said, no. I mean, he and the wife, no, they don't believe. They believe in teaching them well, and then every year to the excel. You see, it's either you believe in God or you don't believe in God. But you see, this week I was telling someone that what is BEC? That's, it's like this level, low level, basic level examination, that people are making it look like it's some do and die exam. And so pay money, compromise, do this. You know, the schools are interested in getting the statistics. Yeah, we had 9 ones, we have this ones, whatever ones, and the percentage, this 99, then the 99%, 100% pass. You see, they are interested in just that. And no, there's this verse, let me just read 2 Timothy chapter 3. I like the way he puts it. I mean, let me use this version, ASV, American Standard Version. It says, "But know this, that in the last days grievous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of themselves." You see, so then lovers of money, boastful, haughty, rayless, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, implacable, slanderous, without self-control, fierce, no lovers of good, traitors, headstrong, puffed up, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. I mean, let me just end it here. But lovers of selves, lovers of money, without self-control, and no lovers of good. It's like, we there, we'll support only the bad things. Good there, forget it. I mean, old school, good things are for old school now. We do anything bad and everything bad. So far as there's money in it, put your conscience aside. We'll go for the money. So, I mean, ethics has been thrown to the dogs. We don't care about morality. Adults, so now we say children are spoiled, the teenagers are spoiled and all that. Now it's the adults that are helping them to get spoiled even the more. Adults. I mean, if you're a school owner, you are a teacher, you are an invigilator, whatever, supervisor, and you can look at these little children, these teenagers, 13, 14, 15, that's the range. You look at these young people, and you are helping to destroy their lives, because, you see, I mean, it's the biggest fallacy to think that, oh, helping them to pass exam is a good, you are helping them in a good way. How can it be good? Yesterday, someone was telling me, a teacher was saying that now the headache in some, for some communities, is the fact that the children have been assured that as for the exam, it's a done deal. We will help you, so they don't learn. They are not learning because they know that in previous years, their seniors were helped and they did well. So they too, when it's their turn, they will be helped and they also do well. So why bother? Why waste your time? This is what is happening. And what formation of character are we expecting if this is the mindset that we are putting in these children? That you don't need to learn, you don't need to strive for perfection, strive to achieve and all that. Because you will just be given. I mean, when I heard some of the people they've arrested, some And WAEC is also to be blamed fully and squarely for this. Because you can't tell me that all these years you are struggling with exam leakages and still you can't find a solution to this. Why should invigilators and supervisors be allowed to hold phones in the exam room? Why? Because you know the cost. I mean, yesterday I saw one news, social media is helping. Then social media cannot just operate in the sky. Social media works on devices. So why should invigilators have phones in the exam room? Because they take pictures and then they send it to be solved and all that. So if you know these things, what are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? And it's amazing that, you see, it's like they are just lamenting, and it's like as if they sound as if they are helpless. They sound as if they are helpless. But it's amazing that it's like, so a whole institution such as WAEC is telling us that they don't have a solution to solve or to curb the exam or practices that we are seeing in various exams. One of the biggest fears I have is it will not be long. Our certificates will not be respected in any country beyond our borders. Because if we go this way, if nothing is done, then soon if you are traveling, somebody is traveling from Ghana to go and continue studying with BEC or with SSC or with WASI or whatever, they will not recognize it because they know that your certificates are worthless. Because that's what they are, I mean, now that is the standard. That's how we are making it look like our exams cannot be trusted. BEC cannot be trusted. WASI cannot be trusted because it's all about a poor throughout, loose invigilation, buying questions, solving and pushing it into the exam room. Exam invigilators compromise. I mean, some schools, the invigilation, they pay money. The students pay. Last year or so, some schools, they were paying 5 cedis every child for every day so that they give it to the invigilators and the police officers who come and oversee the exams. How? And children are paying these monies with the knowledge that they are going to give it to some adults to help them to pass or help them to compromise the exam so that, like, they turn a blind eye and they cheat or they do whatever just to pass. What mentality do you think these children will grow up with? When adults are facilitating, they're doing the wrong. You see, so yes, the children themselves are having issues. We've been discussing this in previous issues that this generation, the children are facing, and the various temptations and all that. But now is my biggest worry and concern is the adults who are helping the children to get spoiled even the more in terms of compromising their morality and ethics. Because examination is such an important thing in education that if morality, the child cannot be moral to the point of knowing that this is wrong. It's not good to copy. It's not good to cheat. It's not good to, do this in the exam room. And now adults are saying that, do it. I mean, don't worry, do it. Nothing will happen. It's good, do it. What values are we placing in these children? What values are we making them learn for the future? Because it's unfortunate some will go through this BEC, yes, the cheating, so they will do well, excel. They will go to secondary, that one too, it will happen. WASI, they will get the compromise, the questions will leak, they will get it, it will be solved. Paul will leak, they will get it. They will also do well, excel, get into the university. Then that's where the challenges begin to, because that one, the system doesn't operate like it was at the BEC and SS. So some are struggling seriously. Seriously. I mean, a teacher told me that, you look at somebody's grades and the person standing there and the way the person is talking, the English that even, so you see, this person has passed, but the passing he passed wasn't his performance. So now this child is struggling to fit in. Struggling to fit in because that is not his actual performance. And they will finish. Whichever. And then I was told of a case of a nurse who wasn't doing well, just like that, managed to pass through, became a nurse, nearly killed the mother because the prescription that's that they've written, you know, like whichever medicine, like the prescription times three times four, that means three times or four times daily, whatever. This nurse, I mean, she doesn't even deserve the title nurse. Thought it was four times per, at the dose, so gave the mother overdose of that, nearly killed the mother. Nearly killed the mother because the times four and the times three, she didn't even. I mean, so how did this person become a nurse? And the person was saying that, you see, this girl, the uncle of the girl, was the one telling someone I know, close person I know. You see, so it's like, so this uncle who happens to be a head teacher is saying that no, this copying and exam or practices, the consequences are ahead of us as a country. So he keeps it and ensures he stops it. So the exams in the schools, I mean, he does social distancing well. I mean, spaces that so that you are on your own, do well, learn and do, for the exams. And to the shock of this headmaster, the chief of the community, whether walking or sitting in a car, came to him in his office to come and confront him that why is he not allowing the children to copy? Can you imagine that? A chief going to a headmaster to confront the headmaster that you are being too hard on the students. Losing up, allow them to copy in exams. A chief. I mean, this is not the first time I've heard this. I know of another woman, an experienced headmistress who has retired now. Her last school, I'll mention the name of the community, there was a whole aluta against her, the chief involved, because she's not allowing the children to also copy. How? What is wrong with our society now? When chiefs have descended so low to the point where they see nothing wrong with exam or practice and encourage it and angry to the point where they can go and confront the school authorities that why are you being too hard on the children? This is the generation we are in. This is the generation we are in. So the children have their own issues, yes. But now the adults are also playing a critical role in destroying their moral and ethics. Adults, to the point even chiefs. How? Parents go and buy a poor and want their children to pass. Parents, what type of parents are you then? What type of parents are you? As if passing the exam is all there is to life? No. I mean, it's a process. I mean, life is a series of steps. So if you are destroying the moral and the ethics along the steps, you are destroying the child. And I mean, the things I hear sometimes, sometimes you hear things that is like, ask yourself, so, I mean, what, how, I just sometimes wonder, how do those adults think? How do those adults think? That you see nothing wrong, with the child doing a bad thing. All we care is, yes, we'll pass it. As to how the means and the ways they will pass it, you know, it doesn't matter. So all that matters is let them pass. If they will steal, they will lie, whatever they will do to pass, let them pass. So what future lies ahead for these children? What standards, what moral ethics, what are we placing in them? What values are we placing in them? So when these people get into the higher years, SS, they finish, they are getting into university, I mean, they expect that life is about cutting corners to achieve your aim. Life is about cutting corners to get the ultimate result. It's not about working hard. It's not about being dedicated. It's not about being hardworking. Not about trusting in God. So people are fasting and praying, and they will finish and they will go and pay invigilators. So what is the use of the fasting and prayer? Is it that God should bless them to help them to write the exam, give them retentive memory and all that, and then you finish and you go and bribe invigilators to allow them to copy? I mean, why are we doing things like this? I mean, if non-believers are doing it, Well, I mean, that one is, I mean, it's expected to, for unbelievers to do what is wrong. But when pastors, when chiefs are all embroiled in such manner of corruption, to the point where we see nothing wrong with doing things that is affecting or is going to affect the morality of these children, we don't care. It's all about what is in for us. Good results. That is all. 9 months. That is all. And this is the generation we are confronted by as Christians. You know, so this week I was having a chat with a friend, a Christian friend, and who, because she is so worried about this whole thing as well. And so we're discussing it, and it's like, we really have to train our children now to the fact that they are going to see evil all around them, and they will have to stand alone. Just as like Daniel, the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where everybody is bowing and you are standing, the pressure will be on. It's like everybody is copying. You alone, you say you will not copy. Everybody is accepting it. You alone, you know. You see, we have to now teach them these values, because this is the world they are in, and this is the world they are going to face. If we don't teach them to be able to stand alone, the pressure will be too much that they will fall. This is the world we are in. I was told of a boy who, that was last year's exams, and they were actually, last year or last 2 years, I mean, invigilators were this exam or practice thing happening, and this boy, or like their school, it's a small school, they were not interested in what was happening. They were concentrating and doing what they are. And one invigilator was angry with them. And you people, you are too known. You think you know. We are teaching you, we are helping you. You don't want. Oh, no. This is what I'm talking about. Pressure. It's like, we are, let's all do the evil. We are all doing evil. You alone, you say you do good. This is it. That's what I read. 2 Timothy 3. They don't love good things. It's like, we love evil. We are doing evil. So join us. We are all doing it. So you see, their conscience, the reason why they act this way is that their conscience pricks them. When you say you will not do it, they feel guilty. So one way of covering their guilt is attacking and confronting you, like as a way of psychologically they are fighting you, because they feel bad, because they know what they are doing is wrong. They know what they are doing is not good. So when you say you do what is good, then now they feel bad, they look bad. So then they'll fight you, they will attack you, they will let you feel like you are rather the bad person. But it's the reverse. You are doing what is good, knowing the good from the bad, so you stick to the good. And those who are doing bad now get offended, because you don't want to join them to do the bad together. We have to teach our children these values, that this is the world we are in now. This is how it's going to play out. It's not going to get any better. This is how it's going to play out. So we should teach them to be prepared for such scenarios where they have to stand alone. A class of 50, everybody is doing it, you alone, 1 versus 49. You can imagine the pressure. You can imagine the pressure if the whole class is doing something bad, and you, one person, 1 out of 50, you say no, you will not do it. You can imagine. You see, so if we don't teach them, you see, these values must be taught, because if you don't teach them, I mean, it will be more encouraging to join than to try and resist. But when they've been taught and they understand the benefits and how at the end of the day it will be for their good, they will be able to endure it. They will be able to endure it. Because you see, if we don't teach them, the system, the pressure of the corrupted system will overshadow them. So in as much as we are praying for them, as much as we are wishing them the best, and we are hoping and all that for them to do well in all that. We have to really take time and make time to really teach them these values, so that wherever they find themselves, they will not compromise. Because now this is the season we are in. This is the time where the world, compromising is just something. It's just normal. You don't need to stress yourself. You just, give in. Everybody is doing it. You to do it. Don't bother about what people, everybody. So you to be part of the everybody. This is how the game is being played. But we should be able to stand and say that, no, we will not bow. Everybody is bowing, but we will not bow. We don't care the consequence. You know, if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were able to stand and even dare the king, even if our God doesn't save us, we still will not do it. That level of boldness didn't come automatically. It was based on the values that were in them, that had been placed in them. That fear of God in them is what made them that bold to be able to stand and resist. You see, so if we don't teach our children the value, the fear of God, because it's the fear of God that differentiates those who do this and those who don't do it. If you fear God, you will not do it, because you know God sees in secret and he sees in the open. So when you are hiding and you are doing the things in secret, the exam or practicing, God sees it, you know. So you are careful. The one who fears God will shun that evil. So those who do it, they don't fear God. They don't care. If God sees them, so what? They don't care. You see, but the one who sees it, who fears God, knows that, no, if I do this, God is seeing what I'm doing. It's wrong. You see, so that child who has the fear of God in him or her will be able to resist. And this is the whole, differentiating factor, because the fear of God is what will let someone stand or cause the person to fall. Just as Joseph in the Old Testament, he didn't give in to Mrs. Potiphar because of the fear of God. He said, he will not sin. He will not do this against God and against his boss. You see, fearing God is such an important value or virtue that we should have. It's very unfortunate, but now there's no fear of God. Even the church, fear of God is becoming a rare thing, even in some churches. In modern Christianity now, as it were, the fear of God is becoming rare, because if you see some things that some pastors are even doing, look at the online, look at the news, YouTube videos, churches and pastors and all the things they are doing and all that. If there was a fear of God, they won't do what they are doing. But there's no fear of God. No, there's no fear of God. So it's like, open season. Everybody's doing it, so what's the big deal? If God sees, and so what? That indirectly, that's what you are saying. You may not open your mouth to say that, but in your heart, that's what you are implying. If God sees me, and so what? What can you do to me? You see, so because there's no fear of God, everybody is doing what they want. And this is the generation. We are seeing it happening. Everybody is doing what they want. The children are doing what they want, because the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3, they don't respect the parents. It's all prophecy. I was told of this case where a boy in a compound house, a bit of a bad boy type of, and when people talk and say, Bible say, if you have such a child saying this, you hear such a child saying this, that yes, the Bible says, stubborn children will come. Yes, we have arrived. This generation, no, it's something else. They know what they are doing. Some know that this thing, if I continue to do it, God is seeing me, God will not be happy. But they don't care. There's no fear of God. Some don't fear God because they've not been taught about the fear of God. Because there are people who, if they are taught about the fear of God, they will refrain from doing what they are doing. That's why it's important that we teach our children the fear of God in these evil days we are in, so that it will give them that encouragement and that motivation to stand by the truth and do what is right. It's important, because if we don't do it, then our Christian children will be just like the unbelievers, because the unbelievers are doing it. So they're yes, it's not strange anyway. But if our children, those who are supposed to know God, those who are professing to be Christians, those who are professing to be born again, if they also get involved in this, then we are failing. And I believe we shouldn't get to that point where we'll lose them to these things because we are shirking our responsibilities as parents. And my encouragement this evening to all of us is, let's do what has to be done as parents. I'll be back after this brief interlude.
Look up, yeah. These are the end of days, what the Bible says about the day of the Lord. And the whole world shake with a big earthquake when he returns. Could be a nuclear war, what the prophet saw. Till you wonder where your help come from. Look up, your redemption draw near. Come the man of peace, come the mark of the beast, the tribulation. Don't you be surprised when the Antichrist give a deception. And you see nation rise against nation, abomination of the desolation. Look up your redemption journey, where he draws near. He will wipe away your tears when he draws near. He'll give you faith, kick all your fears, and you will know. And you believe all he says. Look up, your redemption draws near. Look up, yeah. Look up, yeah. Look up. Of an eye, he will come again. Every eye will see and bow their knee, every tongue confess. Oh, yes, you are the Lord. Oh, yes, you are my Lord and Lords. Look up your redemption journey, where he draws near. He will wipe away your tears when he draws near. He'll give you faith, kick all your fears, but you will know. And you believe all he says. Oh, look up, your redemption draws near. Oh, look up, your redemption draws near.
Look up for your redemption, draw it near. Beautiful song. Okay, so Yeah, this message is very interesting from a teacher. So, yes, I'll mention the name. He mentioned the name of the school because for a good reason. So that one is positive. So I'll mention it. He said, good evening. Please, it's not about the students passing alone, but the teachers of our time are greedy of gain. Some teachers are building wealth from the rots. Yes, that's true. I mean, greed is part of the fundamental challenges we have with this corrupted examination system and all. Greed at all levels, from the printing house to the security to whoever. I mean, greed. Yeah, then the second message says that, say, one school you can encourage other schools to emulate is CAS. Some of the Form 3 students have left the school to register elsewhere because examination malpractice is forbidden. Wow. Many DHS heads have agreed with the Metro office to change the examination center to other malpractice hotspots. Whoa. I'm a teacher at CAS, and for the first time witnessing BEC examination as a teacher there makes me wonder the difference. Wyke knows CAS as an authentic examination center. Some of my colleagues even wonder why CAS has taken such a culture. Oh, this generation, we are in trouble. Oh. Hey. I mean, so you are a head teacher and you relocate your school from a center to another with this motive. That's this place there. Strict invigilation, strict standards. Seriously, I mean, we need a special word in a dictionary to describe this type of adults who willfully destroy or willfully corrupt teenagers. There's a special word that is needed that has to be coined for this group of adults. The head teachers, the teachers, the supervisors, the whatever, who intentionally and willfully are doing everything within their means to ensure that they corrupt these children with bad exam practices just to get a pass. Or, I mean, let them do well, 9 months, and then it's serious. I mean, this message says a lot because this is the mindset that people have. You see, and the saddest thing, yes, I don't know the heads who this government schools or whichever schools, I don't know them, but I can dare say if you are to check their backgrounds and who they are, you have most of them being Christians. Some may even be pastors' wives, if not pastors themselves. Some may be elders, some may be deacons, miracle leaders and all. And yet they are doing this. Last, is it 4 years or so, one of the listeners is in one of the Shanti region outskirts, those places. The headmaster was fighting with this listener of mine who is a teacher because the headmaster has gotten a report. And the teacher says, like, it's a subject. This listener is the teacher for that course, that subject. And he is not going to compromise, no, she rather. She's not going to teach, like, solve the questions for the children, the report that they received. The headmaster was angry, and he said the headmaster is a pastor of a certain big church. The headmaster was angry against the teacher for not solving the report for the children. A pastor headmaster, and it became a whole issue, a whole dispute. And what is it? Because you will not solve a poor for your students. How can this happen? Yet this pastor will Sunday go and be in church and be preaching that people should do what is right, but he's encouraging a poor and doesn't see anything wrong with it, as if when it comes to exams, God doesn't. I mean, it's that one, exam corruption is accepted. That one, the God is okay with it. So let's do it. Double standards. So you see, the problem that we are facing now is about ensuring that your children are well trained at home. Because if your child is under such a headmaster or such teachers, what good values, what good morals do you expect to get? from these schools. Even the heads themselves, the head is corrupted. If the headmaster, who is a pastor, is aiding and abetting in a poor, what other good morals again can this headmaster, I mean, supervise in such a, I mean, being the head of such a school? What good morals do you expect in such a place? Because the person himself is corrupted morally. Exam or practice is a moral corruption. So, you see, the issues we are having, the adults are aiding and abetting in the destruction of our teenagers. The adults are helping. The adults are helping. And it's very sad and unfortunate. Very, very sad and unfortunate. It's a real challenge to parents that we should do everything possible to help our children stand and do what is right. It's very unfortunate, but that's the time we are in. The Bible describes it for us perfectly. That's perilous times. These are the times the Bible talks about. Lovers of money, lovers of pleasure, greed, lovers of this, lovers of that. I mean, and at the end of the day, Sunday, almost all of them will claim they are Christians. Those who speak in tongues will be speaking in big tongues. And then Monday, they'll go and continue doing the corruption. This is the generation we are in. It's sad. The very people who yesterday were helping students to copy and aid them, aiding them and all that, school heads, and who were paying money, doing contributions to bribe vigilantes and all, tomorrow they are going to church. Most of them are going to church tomorrow, because majority of them are Christians. Tomorrow they will go to church, lift up their hands and be thanking God for a successful week. Successful week indeed. This generation, God help us to stand on the right course, because the way things are going, it's very unfortunate. But the saddest part is things are not going to get better. I mean, that's the amazing. It's not going. Things are not going to get better. No. I mean, if you are going by the Bible, things are is going to get worse. So if we are at this point now and we are seeing and hearing these things, it should tell us how the times ahead is going to even be like. That's why I said to get to a point, our certificate will not be respected anywhere beyond our borders, because it will be so known as a copying country, exam or practice country, that our certificate will be worthless. BEC will be worthless. WASI will be worthless. And all. I mean, I have a friend. He says he thinks that, I mean, the government should amend the law to allow a second exam body, so that there's competition between WAEC and another exam body, so that schools will choose, we will write this exam or we will write WAEC. Maybe that's what will let them be serious. Because as it stands now, WAEC is almost a useless institution in terms of conducting a value-based exam. Exam that is respected. They are not able to do it. Go back. In recent years, all the years coming, BEC, WASI, exam or practice throughout. BEC, WASI. They can't conduct an exam that is credible in this country. In the last few years, not few, I mean, going back, they are just failing to conduct exams. They can't. They are always complaining. They arrest the people. How many are even prosecuted? You see, they can't even see through to the fact that if they are serious enough to really keep this, why don't they sit with the attorney general? I mean, so that the judicial whatever authorities, so that they fast track cases that people are arrested, immediately try them to serve as a deterrent. But you always hear of arrest, prosecution. How many prosecutions follow? They are not ready to fight this thing. No. I mean, they are doing something, but it's not enough to solve and fight it. No, they are not pushing it hard enough. No. And they know what is happening. They know. Anyway, so this is Eben. Thanks for listening. You know, we say it as it is, because it's very unfortunate. It's very, very, very unfortunate. But well, we should not be too surprised as Christians, because the Bible has given us an advance notice that this is the time. Mrs. Amprichum says, hey, I don't think that headmaster wants to go to heaven. Oh, madam, as for heaven, they are not even thinking about heaven. No. A headmaster told somebody in the school that heaven, they're here, they doesn't think he's going to heaven. No. So people are not, they don't care. Anyway, my time is up. So good night and God bless you. This is Eben. The program is recorded. Listen to it on spiritissues.info and the Telegram group to download. Good night.
Great content, rich, positive music from the Ashanti Kingdom through the internet at www.spiritfmonline.com. To all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive soul music.